Singer-songwriter Bobby Bridger began work on his epic trilogy, A Ballad of the West, more than four decades ago. Since 1974, Bridger has traveled the globe performing this historical epic as a one-man show. Inspired by John G. Neihardt's A Cycle of the West, Bridger's ballad is a three-part story told in Homeric verse in a song about the mountain men, William F. Buffalo Bill Cody, and the Lakota Sioux people. He will be performing Lakota, the third part of the trilogy, Saturday night at the Benton County School of the Arts in Rogers. He will be joined by guitarist John Inman. Last week, Bobby spoke by phone with Mike Shirky, the host of the Pick and Post here on KUAF. During that conversation, Mike asked Bobby about his relationship with various Native American tribes.
I've ended up writing about the Plains Indians because, frankly, that's what all of us in white culture, most of us in white culture, gravitate very quickly to the Plains tribes. And there's a very, very specific reason for that. And my reasoning was that a pivot point for me was the discovery of the work of John Neihardt, the poet laureate of Nebraska in perpetuity, who wrote Black Elk Speaks, which is the basis for my Lakota ballad. But he also wrote a thing called A Cycle of the West, which was the prototype, basically, for my Ballad of the West. It was the thing that inspired me back when I was still wet behind the ears to lock on to this thing. And but the much bigger picture of that is that when Sitting Bull joined the Buffalo Bill Wild West, prior to that, all the Indians in that show had been Pawnee Indians. And when Sitting Bull joined the show, that meant that the enemy, the enemy of the Sioux, would never, ever be in the Buffalo Bill show again. And indeed, the only Indians, for the large part, that would ever be in that show again would be either Lakota, Cheyenne, or Arapaho, part of the Confederacy that fought us until the blood of their women and children was on the ground. And so that image of the Indian is what was imprinted on all of us in modern culture and on the world, that of the feathered headdresses of teepees and chinupa, the peace pipe, sweat lodges, all of that. And that culture has become so indelible at this point, and omnipotent almost, that even most of the tribes of North America now are taking on the religious ceremonies and accoutrements of the Plains tribes, which brought Vine Deloria in 1979 to make the remark that Black Elk Speaks had become a North American Bible, and that if any religious classic had emerged in North America, any religion emerged in North America, that it had to be compared to Black Elk Speaks. And so when I say it's more relevant today than it was when I finished it in 1972, I mean that because I think that that those voices are speaking, and I'm trying to call attention to them, and Lakota's the best way I can do that.
During your show, do you have a segment that you represent the culture of the white person, and then contrast that with the culture of the American Indian?
No, I do that in the beginning of the show. Because unlike any other show that I've ever done, I come out and tell people a story first about the evolution of Black Elk's story through Neihardt and on to me and through others, and then I do the piece. And there's a reason for that, and it goes back. I never did really answer your question about my affiliation with Indian tribes. I've been affiliated with quite a few of the upper mountain tribes, the Shoshone in particular, the Crow. I have a lot of dear, dear close friends in those tribes. Of course, I was, Vine Deloria was Dakota, and my best friend for 30 years until he died in 2005. Floyd Westerman was another Dakota who was a dear friend of mine, the actor, folk singer. I'm adopted into the Quapaw tribe in northeastern Oklahoma, up near the Missouri-Kansas border. I've been on the board of the American Indian Theater Company since 1984, and that's a bunch of different tribal affiliations on that. So, yeah, I've had a long history with Indian tribes, but I had a very difficult, I faced a very difficult problem in 1972 when I took Lakota onto the stage. I never wrote it to perform it. I envisioned it being performed by a super group of Indian performers, Floyd Westerman among them, before he became an actor, when he was just a folk singer. And I had befriended Will Sampson and people like that who I saw performing Lakota as a kind of a folk symphony, if you will, or folk opera. And when I went to the stage with it, the guy that directed me said, we were in Austin, there weren't any Indian actors. He said, you need to do this in two parts, do the Mountain Man show first, the Indian show second, to show the two sides of the coin. And so I made the decision to do it and perform it for one reason alone, and that was that none of the Indian performers of that time period were singing about Sitting Bull or Crazy Horse or Red Cloud or any of the old heroes of the Indian Wars period. Instead, they were singing in 1972, they were singing anti-BIA songs and AIM songs and hardcore Dylan-esque protest songs, you know. And so I decided, well, I'll start doing this until somebody else starts singing about these people. And to this day, no one has. So I'm still singing about those great old warrior chiefs and the root story for a lot of things around the country right now.
That was singer-songwriter Bobby Bridger speaking to Mike Shirky, host of The Pick and Post, which can be heard every Saturday night at 7 on KUAF. Bobby will be joined on stage by guitarist John Inman to perform Lakota at 7 o'clock this Saturday night at the Benton County School of the Arts in Rogers. Admission is $5 for adults and $3 for children. Tickets are available at Club Frisco and Spiral Out in downtown Rogers. More information is available at 501-420-2174.